T-minus 18 to episode 1000. It's Monday, September 29th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central. This is show number 982, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get a WordPress builder site, domain name, an Outlook email address for just a dollar per month for 12 months, or pick up a domain name for just $1.49. All my specials can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Hey, folks, got a great show lined up for you tonight, and got a kind of a personal thing to share with you as well. I am in way better shape tonight than I was last show. We'll talk about that as well. Hey, you guys can know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in.
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to welcome you to the show. And I tell you, got a great lineup of stuff for you tonight. And lots to share as well. I want to give a big, of course, a very, very warm welcome to all of the longtime listeners and viewers of the show, the Ohana, that are part of our big family here. And of course, if you're brand new to the show, Ohana is just essentially that, family. So, hey, I want to welcome you. And lots to go over. You know, I said at the beginning here, just before I rolled the intro, that I have something personal to share. And I will explain that it involved a medical thing. So I'll warn you, if you want to skip over the 2 minutes when I get into that, I'll let you do that. But just fair warning when we get into that here in a few minutes. But again, if you're brand new to the show, we want you to take some time and come over to geeknewscentral.com. And I've actually been tweaking the font sizes and with the new design, and I'm getting it to where I'm a little bit happier with the way that the readability is on the website. And so I want to make sure all of you are aware of that. We've had lots of great content being put on the website recently. Langley's kicked it up in the high gear, producing a lot of new content for us. So, of course, Langley's also the brains behind Robot Underpants, is one of the shows here at Geek News Central. And, of course, you know, it goes without mention, you know, Geek News Central is, you know, this show, but we've got Robot Underpants, The Elder Divide, The Gadget Professor, New Media Show, Health Tech Weekly, all shows that are part of the network here that are available really right up at the top of the website. You can, you know, just basically click on any of the one of the menu items, and it'll take you over to their website, and you can subscribe to their show easily, just as you can on mine. Right there in the second column of the website, there's places to sign up via iTunes and via the a standard RSS feed, Stitcher. You can come over to YouTube as well. Follow me on Twitter, Google+, Facebook, and even email me there from the main page. And Twitter is one of the great ways to reach out to me and follow me and see what's going on with the website. While at the same time, you can email direct at geeknews@gmail.com, and that will get through to me at all times. The show can be watched on a variety of platforms, whether it be your mobile device, whether it be your tablet or phablet, or if it's a set-top box like the Roku. We're on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku. Of course, we're part of the Tech Podcast Network, so we want you to definitely check us out. Kick back on the lazy boy. And another place that I like to talk about from time to time, and actually those of you that were watching the live stream at the very beginning of the show, as I kicked the recorder, let me see if I can find the right menu item here, is that you can actually, you know, if you've got an Apple TV, all you got to do is add the podcast to your playlist, and you can go right in Apple TV and really get access to everything that's on the show. Well, at the same time, you can sign up for, you know, all the either audio, the video, TPN TV. So there's lots of ways to do that on the Apple TV, and we want you to do so if you are. And again, those of you that are listening, All you got to do is go to the podcast section on your Apple TV to subscribe to Geek News Central. And again, I'd love to have you do that and watch the show from time to time for those of you that that listen on a regular basis. And again, all the places you can follow us on Google Plus, Facebook, and so forth are on the main page at geeknewscentral.com. Well, this show, of course, tonight is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's been bringing great deals to this audience now for 9+ years. And this month, they kind of came in mid-month with some deals. And I want to share those with you right now. We got the 30% off all new orders by using the promo code GNC30. We've got the $1.49.coms on a new .com or transfer. And, of course, we've got the GNC GOT. Now, this is the best, one of the best deals going here. You can get a domain, you get website builder, and a Microsoft Outlook email address, all for just $1 a month for 12 months. And all these, basically, you come to the geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy page, and you click on any of the links, it's going to take you over here to GoDaddy. And really what they're going to do is, on the GoDaddy website itself, at the very top, in the big orange box, it's going to say what the offer is. And this one is specifically the GNC 30 that I have loaded up on the webpage for those of you listening. And it says special offer, save 30% on new GoDaddy products. And there's an offer limitation window as well that shows what the limitations are. And then it also, believe it or not, has the other deal that I've got available right now. And it's called a sweet deal. Again, the domain, website builder, email for $1 a month, first year only. So lots of choices here, folks, to get lots of great products and services. And you can do that by coming over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Being this is the last show of the month, I do want to thank GoDaddy for continuing to be a sponsor here and literally keeping the lights on. And for those of you that have picked up a GoDaddy product this month, I want to thank you as well. We'll know how the month went here in the middle of next week as we get the reporting in. But really, they are the mainstay of this show, and they allow me to continue to do what I do and basically put this show out and everything that goes along with it, and keeps my light bill fed, my family fed, and that's one of the big important factors, of course, to be able to bring home the bacon, and you guys can help do so, again, by using the products over at GoDaddy. We hope that you'll be their exclusive customer and when it comes to domain products. So definitely want to thank all of you that have supported them this month and will do so in the future. Okay, what have I got some stuff here. I do want to apologize over the last show. I got done with the last show, and it was one of those shows that in a rare occurrence where I'm like, I want to flush a show down the toilet. And I'm very self, and I'm usually not so super self-critical, but I got done the last show and I was just like, man, that was not up to par. So tonight I hope to be up to par and bring you guys great content. So I do apologize. I no one said anything, but in my heart I was like, yeah, that wasn't such a good one. And I guess I'm my own worst critic. It's a challenge you have to live with of being a podcaster, but it is definitely was one of those situations where you're just like, ugh. And if I wasn't so wiped out that, and I don't know why I was so wiped out, but if I hadn't been so wiped out, I would have just scrubbed it and recorded the whole thing over and took out about 10 of the articles. So tonight, I'm going to try to stay a little more focused on the important stuff, and I've threw out some fluff. I continue to find myself growing in the amount of stuff I want to talk to you guys about. And that always, I've learned, has not always been the best strategy, but it's old habits die very, very hard. I do also want to make all of you aware, that many of you will listen to this show on Tuesday the 30th, and it's National Podcast Day. And definitely say thank you or do a shout out to all the podcasters that you listen to and say, hey, thanks for doing the show. And you show them a little recognition, maybe via an iTunes review or write up on Google Plus or mention in Facebook. You know, this is an opportunity for you as a listener to get involved in thanking the shows that you listen to and really just kind of putting it out there. And it's the one day a year where we also get a chance to wave the flag and say, yahoo, National Podcast Day. And at the same time, you as listeners can reach out to the shows that you listen to. Now, if you've listened past, if you're listening to this on Saturday, Sunday, or Monday of next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of this week, don't worry. Just go ahead and do it anyway. And even if National Podcast Day has passed, I get my Tuesdays and Thursdays or Mondays and Thursdays screwed up. It's just part of life here. Also, fast approaching 10-year anniversary of doing a podcast. October 9th will be the 10-year anniversary of me doing a show. We won't quite be to 1,000 episodes by that point, but we'll have a little fun anyway. So I want you guys to kind of think about your most memorable moments over the past 10 years. It's going to be kind of hard because I'm going to do two different things, but 10-year anniversary is fast approaching. Now, I did show, as we do in this show, and those of you that are new, at the beginning of every show, I spend some time just kind of chit-chatting about what's going on here, my life, a little bit about business, and before we get into tech, and it's just kind of my way of trying to stay connected with each of you, and at the same time, as you guys drop me emails and tell me about yourself, what's going on with your life, it allows us to form a much, much tighter relationship. And I want to continue to do that as we move through up until 1,000 and beyond, and just kind of bringing it back to home, bringing it back to basics, for a better word. But today, or actually starting yesterday morning, I, at 7 a.m., started fasting, and I was on a regimen yesterday. Now, you guys all know that I turned 50 earlier this year, and with turning 50 comes a special kind of checkup that most men receive at their 50th birthday, and today was my day. So, had a very strict liquid diet yesterday, and then starting about 7 p.m., I got to drink this concoction called, and it came in a box, I'm not kidding you, it said Movie Prep, I'm sure it's supposed to be Movi, but M-O-V-I Prep, and I'm going to tell you, it was nothing about watching a movie, but... So, you know, I had heard these horror stories about this foul liquid that you had to drink. And some of you probably had to do this where you had to drink a whole gallon. Well, I had 2 liters to drink over two separate periods. And so I started 7 o'clock drinking the first liter. And, they say every 15 minutes, drink 8 ounces. And, you know, my strategy was just chug it, go through, pound it down, you know, just force through. And that way, you know, and I went on about every 10-minute thing. And I got through it, actually, the first liter, about 30 minutes. And, you know, it was not as bad as everyone says, but it's not something that I would encourage everyone to drink on a regular basis either. And then you can imagine what was the next 2 or 3 hours was like. But then I had to get up at 2:30 in the morning and do this regimen again. I had to drink another liter of this stuff. And so the alarm clock went off, and I drugged my Ecoli out of bed and went to the, got this jug out of the refrigerator and poured myself the first glass. I, you know, pounded it down. I'm like, oh, I must be getting used to the taste or something. And I said, oh, I can do another glass. I poured another glass and drank that down. And I was like, that's just tasting a little weak. Well, in my haze of not being really awake, I had forgot to shake the bottle. And on the bottom, there was, I'm not kidding you, about 1/4 inch of this white powder substance that was supposed to have already been dissolved and shook up into the drink. And I'm like, no. So I shook it, and I'm thinking, how thick is this stuff going to be? I've already drank two 16 ounces off the top of this thing. I've got another 16 ounces to go. Well, the last 16 ounces was non-experience I want to really put upon anyone ever. So if you ever have to go through this, make sure you shake the stupid thing up, because my last 16 ounces was horrendous. And then this morning, my wife took me into the, I guess they call it the endoscopy department. And, that part was easy. And I just rolled me in, and the guy's like, hey, we're doing the anesthesiologist was friendly, and And so he got out the vial, you know, of the white stuff that if any of you have ever went to surgery, you know, that's basically the night-night juice. And he pulled off a big thing of it and shot me with maybe, I don't know. It was a, you know, a fair amount. And I said, how quick does that stuff work? He said, about 10 seconds. I said, really? That's pretty zoom. Out I went. And I started waking up about, I guess the procedure is about 30 minutes. And heard him talking and kind of woke up. And so I was, so for some reason, I came out of the procedure and I said, hey, doc, I said, you find anything? He says, all clear, dude. You're good. And I'm like, do I get a video? He says, no. I get some pictures for you, though. And so those of you that haven't figured out yet, yes, I had my colon checked today. About 3 feet of camera, for a better word, snaked up my rear. So that's... anyway, that was the highlight of the day. But anyway, got out of there about an hour later. Everything's good, and we've had a pretty good day so far. The only thing that did suck is I came out of there, and we were at someplace, another location, and I wanted to take a picture of something, and the camera on my iPhone 5 is broke. The front camera quit working, and I'm like, how does that happen? It's black. And I, you know, I'm looking at this thing. No one's put any, you know, there's nothing funny going on. And I don't know what happened, but the camera gave out on my iPhone 5. I'm just like, never have had anything break. So my phone is telling me, replace me. But in on top of that, too, and I don't know if this has anything to do with it. We're not going to tell anybody, but Mophie, I've had a Mophie battery pack. And for those of you that are listening, what I'm doing is I'm holding up the Mophie pack. This one's lasted a long time, and it's started to swell. The battery in it has started to swell. And usually when that happens, it's not a good thing at all. So retiring this, will go into a... I'm not going to keep it in the house. Anytime there's a... As a matter of fact, I brought it in from outside. I didn't want to... I wanted to show you guys that we're watching, but I don't know if you can see it or not, but it's inside has swelled. And when you get a battery in anything that swells, it's time to make sure that you do not have that in the house, folks. You need to keep that outside and, you know, put it somewhere where it's not, you know, if something happens, it's not going to burn your house down. So just a fair warning on this. These, you know, these old lithium-ion batteries, you got to be careful of them, okay? And try to discharge them, you know, before you do get rid of them the best you can. That will reduce any, you know, basically any risk of, it lowers the risk of fire and so forth. But anyway, that's being retired. So, and I'm not going to buy another one because obviously I'm going to get a new phone here soon. So we'll watch and see. I'll make a decision soon on which phone I'm going to go with. All right, last couple of things here before we get into tech. And this past week had a great guest on the New Media Show or at newmediashow.com. You can check that out if you're interested. Also, someone reinstated my listing on Wikipedia. I don't know how this all works, but definitely my Wikipedia entry needs serious editing, but I'm not allowed to touch it. So if anyone feels that they're up to it and have a good handle on Wikipedia, be my guest. Also tonight, I do want to remind all of you the GNC Ohana or GNC 1000. We definitely would appreciate if you would consider contributing to the show, whether it would be $2, $5, $10, $15, $25 a month. You can find that information at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Of course, Sam, we haven't been using Sam a lot lately, and we're going to start getting him ramped up. So insider@geeknewscentral.com is the address to email him. If you become an insider, make sure you're on our Insider Google Plus community. And feel free to participate over there and leave comments about the show. And you guys are big stakeholders here. All of you are. But we definitely want to take input from everyone. But again, email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. If you feel that you need to provide feedback on the show. All right, so let's go ahead and get into the stack here tonight of tech that I have. Let's see here, make sure I've got everything. Yep, that's good. And let's go ahead and minimize that. And also, just as a reminder, we're not putting the live video up on geeknewscentral.com anymore. It's only at live.geeknewscentral.com is where I'm live at. And you can, if you want to catch the video of the show early before sometimes I get it updated, you can go over there, and the video from YouTube is on that site pretty much immediately following the show. Hey, did want to ask you guys. You guys know I've got a Windows Home server, but I'm looking for, and the Windows Home server is not RAID 5. And what I want to do is I'm getting to the point where I have so much data. It's really gotten out of control how much data I have, and hard drives are still relatively inexpensive. I'm looking for a decent, not overly priced network attached storage device. Something that I can set out that's RAID 5 compatible. Love to hear some suggestions. If you're out there and you're listening to the show, if you have some ideas on, again, I got to watch budget wise, so I can't go out and buy something super fancy. Also, like to have something that's pretty low on the power consumption side for drives. I want to do a 4-drive system. Let me know if you have suggestions. Drop me a line, because I definitely am at the point here where things are getting a little too scattered data-wise, and I want to make sure that we put stuff up on a RAID 5 system where it's, you know, basically it's backed up, and if I blow a drive, I'm not going to worry about having to put a new one in. It doesn't have to be hot swappable. That's always a plus, but I want something that will rebuild itself automatically. I don't have to worry about it once it's running. If I have a drive blow, I want to change the drive out and rebuild and, you know, all that stuff that's happening. So if you have a suggestion on a network-attached storage device that it will not break the bank, drop me a line. Love to hear it. Geeknews@gmail.com. All right, first thing in the stack tonight, a leaker's claiming that only some Windows 8.1 users will get a free Windows 9 upgrade. And I don't think this should come as a surprise here, but some folks are saying the Windows 7 and Windows 9 upgrade is just going to be relatively expensive. It's going to cost like $30. So even though the Apple stuff has largely been free, that's being said that Microsoft will offer some Windows 8.1 users a free upgrade to the next edition, tentatively labeled as Windows 9. According to this guy by the name of Wazor, W-Z-O-R, Windows 9 will be a free upgrade for some, but not all copies of Windows 8.1. For those currently running Windows 7, the upgrade will come with a price tag, but the free upgrade deal has a big caveat. The free upgrade to Windows 9 can be done only from a full retail version of Windows 8.1. The OEM version will be paid same as before. According to this guy that has been pretty accurate in some of these other, some of these other facts, these background facts. Now, does it mean if you have an OEM version, will you get it? I'm not sure, but customers with Windows 7 PCs, for example, paid $40 for an in-place upgrade to Windows 8 before, and for several months after the OS October 2012 launch. So, it's probably going to come as a price for some of us to upgrade. But I've been thinking here at some point in the near future to go ahead and push to Windows 8 just in prep for Windows 9. I'd like to know when that's coming out. But maybe not. I just thought it would be a good thing to do. But then again, I don't know if it's worth the frustration. I'm still pretty happy on Windows 7. All right, let's talk about a very cool new service. And I'll be honest with you, flying, as much as I love flying, the flying part's beautiful. It's going to the airport, getting checked in, going through security, waiting in the lounge, boarding, going through all this crap, 2-3 hours to get in the air. And in out of Hawaii, I always have to arrive at least 2 hours early, because you just never know. The other airports, you might get away with an hour. Even that is tight, depending on what's going on with security. But having spent a good portion of my adult life flying with the Navy, and having done everything from P3 air, basically doing my job in a P3, to having flown C-12s, which is basically the equivalent of a King Air aircraft, a dual prop engine aircraft. The just walking out the airplane, getting on and going, has been fantastic. And not having to deal with security. You know, you might have to deal with customs coming in, checking stuff, but, you know, it's a whole different deal when you're basically walking out to your own airplane. You just get on and go. Obviously, you got to fuel the aircraft and do all that other stuff. But if you're just a passenger, you know, usually the rich and famous have only been able to afford flying, you know, privately between point A and point B. But today, there's a new Uber offering. And this should be considered if any of you are living in California and doing a lot of commuting. And what it is, it's a new subscription service. What happens is members pay $1,000 to join. And then for $1,750 per month, you can fly limitless trips to 6 destinations on the West Coast, which is soon is going to expand to like 18. So here's, you know, here's the thing you can think about. If you're doing a commute every weekend to San Francisco or to L.A., you know, 4 or 5 trips a year, 4 or 5 trips a month, maybe 6 trips a month, 7 trips a month, you're doing short notice flights, those tickets can add up pretty quick. You know, a short-term ticket from San Francisco, you know, if you had to buy a ticket to go to, if you're in L.A. and you need to go to San Francisco tomorrow, you know, that's probably $300-$400. So if you are doing a lot of traveling within the West Coast, this may be, as much as it sounds, it may be financial for your company, financially wise for your company to do this. Plus, the best part is you arrive at a jet center, park your car, drag your bag inside, go through probably no security or something is like mock security. You drag your bag, put it in the airplane, get in and go. You know, you show up 15 minutes before the flight, you walk on, you're there. It's just boom. It's easy, 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 easy. And this is going to be cool. I envy those that can afford this service and at the same time make use of it, because up to this point, this type of door-to-door or, you know, flying experience has been really left to the rich and famous. And really, the price tag may seem to be high, $1,750 a month. But if they continue to add destinations, this is awesome pricing. Now, you're not flying in a Lear. You're flying in a turboprop aircraft and being operated by Surf Air. And again, it's a new airline hoping to deliver some overdue disruption to the not-so-friendly skies. And this is a year-old, swiftly growing company. And again, it's a subscription-based model for private planes. And again, this is San Francisco, L.A. Let me see where all the destinations are right now. You go Burbank, Hawthorne, Santa Barbara, San Carla, Truckee, Vegas. Where else? And they're going to add Scottsdale, Palm Springs, Santa Ana, Carlsbad, San Diego, Monterey, San Jose, Oakland, Sonoma, and Sacramento are soon to be open destinations. But this is cool. This is really awesome. So, you know, if you fly out of Hawthorne to go, and again, you're not going to LAX. You know, you're going to a Muni airport, a lot easier to get in and get out. So, you know, why am I saying this is techie? We got a lot of techies that live in California that do a lot of commuting. And if you can afford it, do it. I would in a New York minute, to be honest with you. All right, I want to talk about some, hey, again, the team here at Geek News Central has been busy writing some great articles, and I have to hand it to Langley. Langley, I'm very, very jealous. I've been thinking about this for a while, but he went test drove a Tesla. He got to drive the Model S P85. That's the top of the line, $70,000 vehicle. And, he is in love with this car, and I'm as equally infatuated with it. I'm not as equally infatuated with the price. You know, it's like you know, I'll be honest with you. It's like buying two cars. You know, that kind of money You know, I don't know what kind of vehicles you guys drive, but, you know, it's like buying two vehicles and at once. And that's a big jump for me from a price standpoint. But it is a beautiful, absolutely beautiful vehicle. And every time I see one, I just stop and stare. You guys got to admit, if you haven't seen a Tesla running around and there's a Tesla dealer, you know, you go look at get in one and drive one. We've got a dealer here in Hawaii. I'm just going to have to go drive one. And probably what'll happen then is my wife is not going to, she's not going to be happy. She's going to want to make sure that I don't spend very much time in the vehicle, because then it'll become an obsession, and that probably won't be good for my checkbook. I do have to think about retirement at some time in the future. Also, Jen wrote a great article, and Jen's been one of our mainstay writers here for a long time, and Jen wrote an article about the Yahoo directory is retiring. If you think about that, this is big. You know, Yahoo was started nearly 20 years ago as a directory, and it was a directory website to help, and I remember paying to get listed on Yahoo. And it's helped users explore the internet. You know, while we're, you know, Google kind of killed them, to be honest with you. But they're pulling the plug on it. And this is big. And it's, you know, it's a huge, and as she says in the article, it's a huge nostalgia item, probably for many of us. Those of you that don't know how it used to work is basically, when I was running my BBS, and I still have the domain, I think bbsnets.com, I think it reflects to Geek News Central now, along with hafadai.com, which is, if anybody's in Guam and wants that domain, I can sell it to you. but anyway, our way to get found was be in a directory. There wasn't these fancy search engines. You know, you could go to Yahoo directory and search and find the site, but you had to be listed in the directory. That's how really the internet worked in the early years. We didn't Google everything. And we went to Yahoo and searched for stuff. So them to shut this down is big. Now, there are two other product changes to be aware of. Two, Yahoo Education will close on September 30th. And Yahoo explains this decision by noting the needs of the current users of Yahoo Education are already well served by alternate online resources. And the QWiki app will shut down on November 1st. Those who want to download the content you've created on QWiki can do so by clicking on a Yahoo progress report and logging into your QWiki account. So those two things. I would never use that particular product, but another great article that's over in Geek News Central that you should check out. Also, some of our team members are starting to weigh in on their experience with the iPhone. And I'd love to hear your guys' experience too if you send me an email. And Langley wrote up his experience over the past week with his new iPhone. And Barry is getting ready to go order our new phones on Wednesday, so I'm looking forward to doing that. All right, this Ello, E-L-L-O, man, it's getting all the press everywhere. I got an account. Wasn't impressed at this point. I really am not big yet on this site. They say it was designed with a designer's view and lots of functionality, whatever. It's to me, it's not that great. And one of our team members wrote up their opinion on it. If you've used it, love to hear from you as well and what you think of it. I don't think I'm going to be hanging out there anytime soon, but these are four great articles that were put up on Geek News Central in the past couple of days, and we hope that you'll check them out. Stuff in the news today as well is over on Tech Dirt. A good article about Warner Brothers, and this is big. Warner Brothers now has to reveal the process by which it sends automated DMCA takedowns. Now, if you remember correctly, they had a big battle with CyberLocker Hotfile, which ended in a settlement and a shutdown of Hotfile. But there was an interesting side story involving a countersuit against Warner Brothers for abusing the copyright takedown process. Now, Hotfile did a filing at the time that basically said that Warner Brothers had acted unscrupulously and dishonestly in that Time Warner, along with four other major motion picture studios, basically they had been sending DMCA takedowns on basically sites that they weren't even authorized to do so. They were sending down sending these takedown notices, which was wrongful. And they basically that Warner Brothers had knowingly made misrepresentation that and it was engaged in DMCA abuse on an unprecedented scale by grossly misusing the powerful anti-piracy software tool that Hotfile specifically created at Warner's request. Now, obviously there was a settlement there, but what ended up happening is even though there was this countersuit, this takedown process, I think Warner Brothers hoped it would fade away, but the EFF picked up the ball and ran with it. And now the court has ruled that Warner Brothers has to reveal the details of its automated takedown system to see if it's in violation of the DMCA 512F clause regarding misrepresentations. Under the law, now as we've described, talked about this for years, 512F is basically shown to be almost entirely toothless. There's been a number of attempts to change that, but here's what the EFF has sent to the judge. Oh, here's the EFF's summary of the judge's ruling. A judge found that Warner Brothers might be liable under Section 512F, the DMCA, which prohibits sending takedowns without having a basis for believing the account is actually infringing a copyright owned by the person initiating the takedown. The judge ruled that Hotfile had presented enough evidence of abuse that a jury could decide the issue, but before the case could be heard by a jury, the party settled and Hotfile shut down. So there was evidence that Warner may have crossed the line, but the details have been held under seal, inaccessible to the public. In February, EFF asked the court to release the sealed records that explain the court's decision, including aspects of Warner's robo-takedown system that Hotfile had challenged. At an oral hearing, the Miami Federal Courthouse on Thursday, attorney Denon Pascualis argued for the EFF, noting that the court records are normally supposed to be open to the public. Judge Williams ordered Warner to release certain information within 10 days of Thursday's ruling to propose a schedule for releasing the rest. So this is could give some light into what Warner has done on improper takedowns. Now, if you remember, they've been sending all these movie groups have been taking that sending takedown notices on a wide variety of products, some that they don't even own, has nothing to do with any movies they've released, maybe even fair use type stuff. So we'll see where this leads with the EFF. In good news, Comcast Time Warner Cable merger vote has been delayed after New York regulators have found deficiencies. I love how they put it. The delay comes as the commission reviews recommendations from the Division of Consumer Protection's Utility Intervention Unit, UIU. That's a big word for a New York division. In a filing August 25th, UIU described deficiencies associated with the company's current substandard customer service and said that the merger should not be improved unless certain conditions are imposed. The UIU also said that there are deficiencies in the company's petition with the state, specifically in the areas of improving the company's service to its New York customers, making universal broadband more affordable, increasing broadband speed, and investing in infrastructure, including ways to remedy those deficiencies. So they're not going to vote until November 13th, delaying the which was originally going to be a ruling on October 2nd. Is this going to change anything? We don't know, but at least in New York State, it is being delayed. In related news, a gentleman filed a FCC complaint against Comcast. This guy's been trying for about, since about July 12th to get HBO added to his service. And he hasn't, and it's about 20 to 21 calls to Comcast to try to get HBO, and he still doesn't have it. Can you imagine? I want to spend money with you, and I want Comcast. I want HBO, and it all revolves around a cable card. He doesn't have a cable box. He has a cable card in there. These cable companies have been slippery on these cable cards. They do not like to support them at all, and it's very obvious that they want him using a box and not a cable card. But this guy is basically said, listen, I've been dealing with this since July. I'm going to file the FCC complaint. He put that posting up on Reddit. In mobile news, and there's a lot of it, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it tonight because we've all kind of been inundated with it, but Google's launching a new ad display format, just what we need, right? Designed for a multi-screen world. And I like how they've changed it to multi-screen, and I think that's... you know, it used to be all glass, now it's being called multi-screen. So basically, these ad units are going to be some that we're already seeing primarily on the on YouTube and some of the stuff we've seen on the iPhone already. So there'd be the ability to skip it. Basically, there'll be a little skip ad on the bottom of an app. There'll be the overlay at the very top of the app, basically where a little banner will go. And then the ads will actually be pre-rolls into videos and so forth. So this is some new ad units that they're introducing. They're going to make available for sale that we'll probably all see on our mobile devices at some point in the very near future. All right, we're getting into basically a hurricane season here in Hawaii. Actually, we've been in it for a while. But one thing that I've was kind of going through our emergency kit a couple weeks ago and told my wife, with the radio that we've been using or had here, the AM/FM radio, that is basically getting dated a little bit. And I want to buy one of those ones that wind up that you don't need batteries for. Because, here in Hawaii, if I stick batteries in something and I forget about it, the typical heat here will cause within 3-4 months, the batteries are starting to corrode and you've wasted the battery. But there is some criteria you should look at. And the company I went to look at first is one that we've done a lot of coverage on. It's called Eaton. And Eaton has got some pretty cool ones out there. The one of them from Eaton has the ability not only to spin to charge the radio, but you can actually spin to charge your mobile phone. So if you actually need to, it's obviously a lot of cranking to get a mobile phone charge. But when there's no juice, this is an option, that's out there. So I'll have a link up for an article that I found that talks about some of these good radios that are out there. So if you don't have an emergency radio currently, and many of you are getting ready to get ready for the winter months, last year some of you suffered power outages because of snow and ice. Yes, we are, should be thinking about that as well for those of you that live in the colder climates. Definitely want to get yourself an emergency radio. You should have it as part of your emergency kit. And they're relatively inexpensive, under $50 generally. The radio that I was looking at was actually approved by the American Red Cross, the FRX3. And it has NOAA AM/FM weather alert, $46 on Amazon. So link will be up in the show notes on that. It's not an affiliate link. I should be putting affiliate links to all of these products I put up. So if you guys go buy them, I get credit for it, but have never done that. One thing we don't have to worry about here in Hawaii is ever being in an NFL blackout area. We get all the football games. But if you live in a city where you have a stadium, they've got this, whatever it is, a 50-mile rule or some ridiculous thing. If you live so far away, so close to a stadium, unless they have a sellout, you can't get the actual game. Well, the FCC will reportedly axe a longstanding policy that keeps pay TV outfits like cable and satellite companies from broadcasting local events that don't sell out. So this is fantastic. And I love how the FCC chairman, Tom Wheeler, which had already spoken about this, has basically said that they no longer need the government's help to remain viable. So if you like watching the game on your television and you live close to the stadium, their relief may be very close at hand. Let's switch gears just a little bit here and talk about books. I think we all know that there's been some contention, as a matter of fact, a lot of contention with Amazon and authors. Now, I have nothing to complain about. When my book went on sale, a fair number of my books were sold digitally. People are still buying my books digitally, which is incredible after basically all this time. But last spring when Amazon begins discouraging customers from buying books published by Hachette, the writers grumbled about this, that they were the pawns in this retailer contract dispute. So now, this has drug on for a while. Hundreds of other writers, including some of the world's most distinguished, are joining a new coalition to basically try to battle Amazon here for its what they're stating is a illegal monopoly tactic. They want the Justice Department to investigate Amazon. They also want to highlight the issue of being debated endlessly and fiercely on writers' blogs. What are the rights and responsibilities of a company that sells half the books in America and controls the dominant ebook platform? I'll be honest with you. Without Amazon's ebook platform, I buy a lot of books. And my budget probably now on an annual basis for buying books on Amazon is probably maybe $100 to $200 a year on the number of ebooks that I buy. Now, before Amazon ebooks, I wasn't buying that many books anymore. I wasn't buying paperbacks. It just was a hassle. You know, there was a period in my life, very, very raising young kids, and there just wasn't time. But now, if I see a title or I get recommended one in lots of business books or motivational books, or just I like to read sci-fi. And please, you guys, if you got a good sci-fi you read, send me over a link, or a good business book you read, drop me an email with that, because I'm always looking for stuff. Because what I try to do is every week I try to set a few hours aside just to kind of, you know, disconnect and read. And so for me, the ebook evolution has been fantastic. And I do like the cheaper prices of the ebooks instead of having to own a paperback. And I own it digitally. Can share it with my kids and my wife, and it works out great. But I understand, as an author, you know, having written my own book and having had a publishing house behind it where they did all the PR, without them, it had been very hard. Maybe not as much at the time, but, you know, they were largely responsible in ensuring that we sold, you know, 47,000 copies of the book. And, you know, that turned into a nice royalty check for me. You know, that was a big deal. And, you know, those of you that were around when I announced that, you know, that book. So I understand the point from the authors, but I also understand that many of these folks would not be selling any books, would it not, if it's not for Amazon or another group out there. You know, they move a lot of volume. And I think that's the trade-off here is, okay, if the price of the book goes up too high, maybe I'm not going to buy it. If it's low, I'm going to buy it, and I may not have bought it otherwise. And it keeps the volume up so that they earn more money over time anyway. But you guys, what do you guys think about the e-book war that's been going on and Amazon's tactics? Do you think that the Justice Department's going to get involved? All right, next article. And I know I'm just cutting stuff with a knife, right? Move from one to the other. I got to figure out a way to have a smoother transition. Samsung Galaxy Alpha versus the iPhone 6. And you know what I was really looking for? I did some searching around. I was looking for comparisons of the Samsung Galaxy S5 and the iPhone 6 Plus. I wanted to get a visual differentiating, you know, on what the size difference was. And I was able to find some good articles on that. So I definitely was enthralled when I started reading some of these reviews where they were doing, you know, head-to-head comparisons on size and screens. And, you know, Samsung's still got a pretty good product that processor-wise and everything else, it definitely competes. And it's definitely a very viable offering. So I was looking at this Galaxy Alpha, and I was pretty excited about that particular phone. And I was also looking at the reviews where they were actually doing a comparison of the iPhone 6 Plus and the Galaxy S5 and seeing the actual difference in size. And, you know, that gives me a, you know, especially when I'm, because I have yet to see a 6 Plus. I went into a place yesterday looking for one, and they didn't have any out for display. But I just haven't went to an Apple store. That's part of my problem. But actually, I've got a good excuse to go to one now. The comparison size are obviously incredibly different. You know, it's about that much bigger than the S5. So I'm kind of leaning, and I hinted at it earlier maybe a little bit, but I'm still leaning towards the 6 Plus from a purchase standpoint. So even though it's as big as they say it is and everything, so I just like the screen real estate. I really do. I might be maybe miserable with it after I get it, But that's where I'm kind of at this point in my decision-making process. And I know some of you folks out there that are Android users, you're like, no, go Android. And I've got Android tablets and stuff, so don't worry. I'm not abandoning. I'm still going to use both. Well, one of the most exciting rumors coming out today is on the potential of a 27-inch iMac with Retina display. We had gotten we talked to our folks, our contacts over at Apple here recently, and they had told us that podcasters now, they want them creating 2048 by 2048 album art. And we're just like, why? Why? And internally, Angela and I talked about, why do they want to do that? And I think today's announcement of these Retina 27-inch iMacs rumored it may be the exact reasoning, because according to a report, the Retina iMac is in line with rumors they'll support a 5K display with a resolution of 5120 by 2880. It's rumored also be using an Intel Haswell processor. So this is big. The Retina model will be limited to the 27-inch model, and out of the 21.5-inch model, will keep using the 1920 by 1080 display. But some have expressed some skepticism at a 5K iMac, but thanks to the new DisplayPort 1.3, a 5K iMac would be possible. And again, this to me makes me go, how much is that sucker going to cost, right? Because anything 4K and above, is the monitors alone have been, of the quality that the iMac has, a couple grand just for the monitor. So we will see where this leads, but it's fuels some of this, basically them come back and tell us they want the album art to be 2048 by 2048. And for those of you that aren't aware, when iTunes first launched for podcasting, the album art size was 300 by 300, then it went to 600 by 600, then it grew to 1400 by 1400. That's the image size they want. It's still a minimum of 1400 by 1400, but they want people to migrate to 28 by 28. That's a huge file. Well, not necessarily so huge in a JPEG format, but it is an interesting why they want that. I think what they want is they want the highest resolution possible, so when they downsize it, that it still looks beautiful. I think that's a big, big part of it, because they don't make people create multiple copies of it. All right, Apple has released an OS 10 bash update 1.0 addressing the shell shock vulnerability. So many of you probably have seen your machines, your Macs, asking to be rebooted. Mine went through the process here. And if you haven't got it already, you will be. Switching topics here completely, it's being rumored that a future version of Firefox is going to have a Tor button on it. You know, everyone's thinking about privacy and cybersecurity more now since the world was, basically pummeled with the stuff that's been going on over Snowden and his revelations. Now companies are starting to seize onto the mantra here by building more secure tools for the internet. And it sounds like Tor will be at the front of that line. I actually had to download some media the other day, legal media, using BitTorrent. And I hadn't used BitTorrent in a while. I grabbed the uTorrent app. And as I was using uTorrent a little bit, again, the program that I was using that was, what I was downloading was something that was legal, I was contemplating, okay, so... And I hadn't explored uTorrent very much to actually see how they're protecting people these days. I don't know how, if people are going through proxies or how that's all working. I think it's a good time for if one of you use uTorrent for whatever purpose, how do you keep yourself from essentially being tracked? And what do you guys set up? Do you use an anonymizer of some sort? Do you use Tor? I'd be kind of curious to hear how you guys are implementing that. I probably could search and find a whole article on it, but if anybody in the audience is using uTorrent to grab the content, whether it be movies or whatever, I'd love to hear on what you're doing to keep yourself from essentially receiving that letter from the cable company saying, hey, you're stealing copyrighted material. But anyway, this Tor button on Firefox could be very, very, very big. I think some of that's already implemented in uTorrent. I really didn't look, but I probably should. All right, Google takes down Android Wear Watch Indigo campaign. And I'm not surprised by this. Apparently, they were using some of the marketing materials and maybe didn't have complete permission to do what they were planning to do. And also, they probably shouldn't have called it Android Wear, but they've dropped the hammer on them. And I feel there might be a couple of reasons why Google took the steps. Basically, Acom is a company that was setting up, may not have had permission to use Google Android Wear marketing materials in its campaigns. And that's understandable. If they had taken permission, perhaps this may not have happened. The other reason could be the fact that Com One sounded too good to be true. The $150 smartwatch was reportedly going to have a bigger battery than any other Android Wear smartwatch out there and a host of sensors not found in any existing device. The company kept updating the specs page frequently and its pitch was poorly worded, which led many to think it was all an elaborate scam. Of course, that wouldn't be the first scam on Indiegogo. So so maybe Google decided to save people some agony here and had it pulled down. But I wasn't even aware of this particular Indiegogo campaign. A number of you are using Chromebooks. And my son is using, he loves that Chromebook that I've had here for a number of years. That thing goes everywhere with him. He has truly embraced the complete cloud, and you know he laughs at my daughter. Why do you need a USB stick? Why don't you just put stuff up in the cloud and you know give the link to the teacher? And yeah, you know, so he's completely embraced it. So he's been using my Chromebook and basically pretty much took it over. But Adobe's bringing Creative Cloud to Chromebook, starting with Project Photoshop, and this is big. So Google announced a new partnership with Adobe today that will see the companies bring Adobe's suite of popular Creative Cloud apps to Chromebooks. Initially, Adobe will launch just the Photoshop app as a beta and make it available to only its education customers. The announcement notes that Adobe has a streaming version of Photoshop designed to run straight from the cloud and fully integrated with Google Drive, but also appears to hint that the app will offer a full Photoshop experience that Creative Cloud users will be familiar with. In case you're wondering how the streaming version of Photoshop will differ from the normal Creative Cloud, basically they said that the Project Photoshop streaming is identical to Photoshop you'd install locally with a few notable exceptions. This build can be accessed from a Chrome browser, Windows only, or Chromebook, and does not require a full download and install. In other words, it's the same build of Photoshop you typically download and install from Creative Cloud. However, instead of being installed on your home machine, it's running in a virtualized environment, so it can be accessed from any Chrome browser or Chromebook. Because this version of Photoshop is running in a virtualized environment, you open, save, export, and recover files from to your Google Drive rather than your local file share. Also, this beta version of the virtualized environment does not support GPU. Consequently, GPU-dependent features are not yet available, coming soon. And this build also does not yet support print. This is exciting. You know, I had to suck it up and spend the $30 a month to, you know, have the Creative Suite. And I'm finding myself, I'm starting to add it up. $30 for Creative Suite, $10 a month for Office 365, $9.95 for another program. I use the Digital Juice and they're to get stuff for video editing, overlays and so forth. And all these, you know, I'm thinking about, yes, pretty soon I'm going to be having to look at what's got to go. Because the monthly subscription plans, you know, that's cool, I'll add that, that's $5. Oop, I'll add that, that's $9.95. And next thing you know, you got $200 a monthly renewal fees. And that's the beauty of making sure you put it on your credit card so that when you get your bill, you can look at that every month and say, do I really need that or not? But, you know, I live a lot in Adobe, so it is an important part of what I do here. And this is cool. So I think this is going to be a big boost for Chromebooks. It's going to give people a little different perspective on it. Article over on BGR.com. Windows Phone may join Android. And what? Oh man, I'm long. Windows Phone may join Android in a race to the bottom for cheap hardware. Of course, we know one of the reasons that Android has spread so quickly is that Google allows anyone to use the bare bones of the platform for free. and Microsoft has observed how Android has thrived under these conditions and is apparently determined to win the race to the hardware bottom with new policies that aim at getting manufacturers to churn out cheap Windows-based smartphones. Microsoft's real strategy to promote Windows going forward starts where it must, with the hardware makers, aka the companies that abandoned Windows in the smartphone market to focus on cheaply licensable but not really free Android OS from Google. So this means that Microsoft has dumped licensing fees for all Windows devices with displays of 9-inch or lower. It's removed restrictions and requirements that made it difficult for Android devices to make users to use their handsets with Windows Phone 2, and it made possible running Windows on low-end platforms. So we may see some more Windows phones coming. How about some Windows El Cheapo tablets? Feds have charged an executive with making an app for stalkers and domestic abusers. Stealth Genie intercepted communications to and from mobile phones and was undetectable by most users. It was targeted at people who suspected their spouses or significant others of cheating on them. The DOJ has indicted a software CEO in what the government says is the first ever criminal case involving advertisement and sale of a mobile device spyware app. So Hamad Akbar, chief, and I apologize if I pronounce his name incorrectly, Hamad Akbar, chief executive of InvoCode, a company that sells Stealth Genie app. They've charged him with conspiracy. And he was arrested over the weekend in Los Angeles. So this is a first. Be careful what you make out there. You may become underneath the thumb of the law. Greg Eckhart over in Slashdot talking about energy utilities trying to stifle growth of solar power. It's happening here in Hawaii in a big, big, big way. And they're talking about here now in Hawaii where people that have solar systems, they pay a connection fee of $19 a month that they use if their solar system basically creates more power than they consume. And they're talking about raising that price to $75 a month just to have a connection fee. And I know many of you, probably in the lower 48, are in a situation or back in the mainland, maybe your electricity bill is only $100, $125, $150. To think that just if you got solar that they would charge you a base rate of $75 of being connected to the grid is pure insanity here. And they're trying to push that through with the Public Utilities Commission. But this is going on all over. They say that as soon as rooftop solar were to grab 10%, and it's at that or more here in Hawaii, utility earnings could decline as much as 41%. And that's part of the big battle that's happening in this locality. They're fighting it tooth and nail and making it very hard for new solar installations to go on. All right, if you're fortunate enough to own a 2015 Corvette or buying a 2015 Corvette, be aware that there's a PDR, performance data recorder, that you can add to the vehicle, which is a little bit like a built-in GoPro and microphone array that's wired into the car's vital stats. In normal use, the idea is to turn your track days into learning experiences, but you also can use this in other modes as well, basically shutting off some services when someone's going to park your car. But part of the problem is the microphones stay on all the time when the car is running, and the driver may be recorded without his consent. So there's some legal issues that are going to go on there. Also, all these tracking things that are going on with vehicles makes me go, just a little bit. Many people are wondering, how do you make a phablet easier to use in one hand? Well, some companies are giving it a buddy phone. Alcatel, it's got a phone called the Pop Mega. You get the Pop Mega. It's a phablet, again, pretty big. And it gives you a buddy phone to go along with it. So you can hold to me, this is insanity. You got this big phone. You don't want to hold it up to you, and they give you another phone to go along with it that you can use. Oh, my gosh. They're actually going to give you the buddy phone with the purchase of the phablet. So Pop Mega, 6-inch honker, available from Track Phone, prepaid, Straight Talk branding next month. Again, comes with a secondary little phone for making calls, sending texts, and getting notifications. Oh, we are just absolutely insane. Of course, George Clooney got married this past weekend. I know you could care less about that. I saw a picture of his now wife. Whew, beautiful. But I think that there's a little age difference there. But he gave all his wedding guests burner phones to prevent photo leaks. So that's kind of curious. He made all of them not bring, he basically said, don't bring your phone, but he basically gave everyone burner phones to use, which is interesting from a security perspective. But I guess if he was really dead set on leaking that $1 million wedding photo to TMZ, the folks could have, you know, brought their, they smuggled their own camera, but maybe they frisked every guest before they come in. But he's probably going to sell those to the highest bidder anyway. There's an iOS 8 bug reportedly erasing iCloud Drive documents when settings are reset. So if you do a reset on your phone, and if you've ever done that, it basically brings a phone back to a default setting. If you still have your iCloud Drive linked to that phone, apparently it's erasing some documents. So be very, very careful in resetting your iPhone. Excuse me. Yeah, resetting your iPhone right now if you've done that. There's really no reason to do that unless you're getting ready to sell one of your old phones. So just make sure you disconnect everything in here before you even do that, all right? Malvertising sneaks aboard the Pirate Bay. So if you're over on Pirate Bay at all, be careful of the ads around the website. There's some malware that's going on. Actually, I was on a site the other day and I had a malware warning pop up. First time I've seen that in a while. So they're getting pretty more aggressive in putting it right on embeds on websites. Also, brands are about to really make some changes to music videos from the past. Videos will be digitally updated with new ads in them. So, of course, we've all known for a while that that Coke can that was in a particular video for, you know, some star can be changed to a Pepsi can now. They've got the technology now to change the ads and videos, which I thought was pretty curious, and it makes sense. It's just like podcasts. The ad in this show will stay in there forever. I'm never going to rebuild it because this show's will basically be burned in 14 days, where that is not the case with most music videos. All right, last few articles tonight. Actually, I got a lot here. Bill Gates is still tops the Forbes list of 400 richest people in America at $81 billion. Gates actually added $9 billion to his net worth over the past year, partly due to a rise in his Microsoft shares as well as growth in other investments. So the Bill and Melinda Gates has been giving away $30 billion, has given away $30 billion since 2000. But boy, I tell you, he's bringing on a lot of cash. The other tech moguls, Oracle founder CEO Larry Ellison took third at net worth of $48.1. Of course, he bought an island here in Hawaii. Zuckerberg took top honors as the biggest gainer. He's now number 11 at $34.7 billion. You know, what's a billion amongst friends, right? All these guys have done very, very well for themselves, starting for most of them from nothing. All right, iOS 8's predictive quick type keyboard has been finding to suggest parts of your passwords, so be careful on that. There should be a patch coming out on that soon, but you have to turn the predictive feature off in order to stop it from, if you've entered a password somewhere, I guess it's keeping that cached, and will start to kind of suggest it when you're typing a password, which is not good. And also, some hooligans are going into Apple stores now and purposely bending iPhones. It's just wrong. Some kids did some videos, put them up on YouTube. Just total jerks. Can't believe that. And I hope these people are caught. It's just not cool at all to do that kind of stuff. Hey, in space news, Cassini spacecraft is once again tracking a mystery object in a Titan C. So this is kind of cool. NASA's Cassini spacecraft on looking at a large hydrocarbon. Basically, there's a mysterious feature in a large hydrocarbon sea on Saturn's moon Titan. We've talked about this before. Back in 2013, they saw something, but they see it again. So scientists are trying to figure out what this is. It's aliens raising their platform, of course, to launch and to observe us. A link will be up in the show notes. There's an incredible, absolutely. This is one of the most incredible pictures I've seen in a long time. This photographer got the $1 million money shot when it come to, and those of you that are watching, when you see this, you're going to be like, holy cow. It's stunning. It's a stunning view of our Milky Way, and he was in a main forest out basically next to a lake. Just absolutely stunning, and link will be up in the show notes. It's definitely going to be a background picture on my desktop for a while, and it just shows you, you know, we have sky pollution. It's big here in Hawaii, sky pollution is, and And many of you that live where you actually can, you know, get big sky views is really awesome. I was going to link you guys. Oh, it's back up. There's a this shell shock or the bash bug is now the hackers are out there and they're trying to exploit. So there's some good write-up on this. For those of you that are sysadmins, you'll definitely be interested in that. Jawbone is now trackerless, and its app syncs with Apple Health and other fitness services now. So this update is with 802 coming out. There's a lot of stuff that will be now linking into the health or fitness services on the Apple Health section. So again, got to be think about where that data is going, folks. All right, final link tonight. Oh, I've got the link to the video on the iPhone 6 Plus and Samsung Galaxy S5 comparison. So I'll have that up in the show notes for you. All right, let me see what I've got in the stack for email that has come in. And a little light over the last couple of days, but we did get some stuff. And actually, a couple of articles that came in, I missed getting ready tonight. They just reminded me of. The domain one, I will get that back in the stack and talk that on the next show. Let's see here on the 20. What was the last show? Today is the Okay, so I'm just looking at the date here, so make sure I'm not reading old emails. I've got an email from Simon. He says, basically he's talking about I was quoted in the Washington Post. I have that link up in the show notes for those of you that are interested. It's about the resurgence of podcasting. Actually, I was interviewed today as well by the Chicago Tribune. There's going to be an article coming out in a couple of days on that. So all the majors are going through and making a lot of, essentially they're going out and making a lot of updating people on what's going on in the podcasting space. Also got an email here. Robert, one of our fans, says, "Hey, Todd, I know you how to do podcasts and wouldn't actually do it this way, but have you ever tried turning your YouTube channel into a podcast that way just to see what happens?" The YouTube channel basically has all the podcast in it. I don't think I would necessarily do what you're suggesting by using their RSS feed per se. It's pretty nasty, to be honest with you, from a implementation standpoint. But Robert, thanks for sending me that link. Good article, basically an interesting idea. But at this point, I don't think I'm going to make that move. Let's see here. Also, got an email from Jeff. He basically says he provided me a link that maybe a look at the first Google giant new smartphone, the Nexus 6. I want to thank Jeff for that. I have that in the show notes. Got an email from Jack. Jack is TriCaster Jack. The guy that Jack is a great guy that's out of Dallas that goes with us to CES every year. And Jack says, "Hey, Todd, this is the best explanation of the bash flaw that I've seen. This is mostly for geeks, but that is us. Is this a flaw or feature? Enjoy." And it's linked over on Dig. So thanks for that, Jack. I definitely appreciate it. It's a big issue. It's a big, big concern out there in a big way. And we'll see what happens here. But I know sysadmins all over the place are scrambling to lock their systems down. Finally, got an email from MS Small Biz, and his email says it's in response to a electronic warfare training that the Navy's doing. He said, "Be glad they're not using Hawaii for this testing. The Navy is going to be using public lands to station a number of trucks emitting wide bands of electromagnetic radiation so Navy jets can target them from offshore. You have to love how they say it won't cause any harm, but at the same time, they are putting warning areas and admit that it can cause burns at the very least. What does your background tell you about this, and would you consider visiting the peninsula during this test where you might have a dozen antennas emitting electromagnetic radiation? What is the surely going to be at a rather high power level?" Well, let's just talk about radar power to begin with. I toured many, probably nearly 30 years ago, Big antenna array that was up in Alaska, Aleutian Islands, I think it was called Cobra Dane. It was used as a early warning radar to watch for ICBMs coming out of Russia. And if birds would fly in front of this array, it would zap them. There'd be enough radiation to kill them. But even on commercial aircraft radars, per se, like the ones that are found in jets, the color weather radars that would be like in a 747 or so forth, the distance that you have to stand away from that antenna is relatively small, maybe 10, 15 feet from that. But, you know, you don't want to purposely stand out there and get radiated, but 10 or 15 feet is where the safety margin is. Now, some of the systems I worked on, the safety margin went as much as 250 feet. That was a standoff that we basically had to put in place in running some of the high-powered radars that I had access to while I was in the Navy. So there is a radiation hazard, definitely, because it's, you know, it is putting out a lot of power. It is an RF energy. It's usually pretty high, but it all depends on what they're doing. Now, in this instance, it sounds to me like they're going to be testing some systems to basically maybe kill, destroy type radar systems. Is the power on those don't need to be necessarily that high for whatever sensor is detecting it to try to do a kill on the radar. And basically what they do is they shoot a missile at it and it follows the signal right down to the source and usually goes right into the array to take the array out. So most of those systems are probably no more power than what you would find at a air traffic control facility at an airport. I wouldn't imagine the power being any higher than that. And those typical radars probably have a 200, 250-foot safety range. And oftentimes, they're high enough up, and the beam is pointed up, that maybe there's not even any risk to people on the ground. They might be able to walk around this thing. You got to remember that as RF energy comes out of a magnetron, or actually comes out of an antenna, it's very focused. You're going to have side beams and stuff coming back. Depends on where the signal bounces from. But what really happens there is the amount of power that comes back is just tiny from a power standpoint. The energy coming out directly out of the antenna is obviously a concern. But again, it's very, very focused. It's not like this wide beam where you're going to get impacted. It really takes you being in the main beam. You've got to, for a better word, it's like it's kind of like a gun. You have to be; it's got to be pointed right at you in order to cause damage. And there's definitely some side lobe areas and some degrees of risk. But I would not have any challenge. I wouldn't have any problems visiting the peninsula during those tests, where there was a dozen antennas emitting RF energy. They're going to have the specific standoffs that are going to be in place. I'm not going to go tramping around and hanging out over there for a long time, irregardless. But actually, from a safety standpoint, I'm not worried. I wouldn't be worried about it at all. It's, again, it's really focused, and the dissipation and everything that happens very, very quickly. So I guess that's kind of my 2 cents worth on it. All right, folks, that's going to wrap us up here. We're definitely long tonight, but I want to thank you all for tuning in, and definitely consider becoming a GNC insider, being part of our GNC 1000 at geeknewscentral.com/insider. If you've got value out of tonight's show, we definitely appreciate every contribution that is made by each and every one of you on a monthly basis. Those amounts that are being contributed are starting to allow us to do a few more things from time to time. Getting ready to probably hire another writer or two for Geek News Central. So allows us to continue moving the agenda and the ball forward here at the property and make sure that the rest of our shows that are part of us are able to grow as well. But Well, thank you. And we'll see you on Thursday right back here at geeknewscentral.com. Definitely give us a shout out on iTunes if you love the show. Do a review over there. Or shout out on Google Plus or Facebook or wherever it may be. Promote the show with your friends, family members, people that you know. Let's build this audience organically here. And definitely send your emails again to geeknews@gmail.com. Let me know how you're doing. Give me a little 411 on your little mini bio when you send that email to us so that at least let me know where you're coming from and a little background if you can. That always helps us out here. All right. Hey, thanks, folks. And we'll see you on Thursday. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.